Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown. This is Bass Fan Radio, and the FLW Championship is behind us. The Bassmaster Classic is behind us, but there was a great thing that happened at the FLW Championship, and with me today is Greg Gulledge. And Greg, you know, the FLW Championship is really a neat deal because not only do the pros get a chance at $500,000, but the co-anglers who fished hard all year get a chance for their championship as well, and you did spectacular at that event.
I sure did. I had just a phenomenal fishing trip. It was just unbelievable the way I caught the big fish the first day and actually backed it up with a good limit the second day.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people who watch BASS or watch FLW, they sometimes wonder, you know, the co-angler sometimes has to sit in the back seat, kind of pick up the dregs. You know, you got the shop back in the front scooping up all the big fish. But in the back of the boat during the championship, you had two big stringers the first 2 days, and I think you kind of startled everybody.
Yeah, well, it just sometimes it happens that way. You know, the pros are very good at what they do, and they don't leave you a lot sometimes, but, you know, there's always fish that they don't catch, and you just kind of have to fish where they don't.
Well, let's talk about bait selection. You know, guys from the pro angler side of the fence, you know, they're the guys that are going to go out and really try to strain the water, get underneath the docks, do those kind of things. And what ends up happening is that you have to pick up another bait maybe, or maybe look at that bait selection a little bit more critical, don't you?
Yeah, well, what I try to do is I try to fish something that's kind of similar, but a little different too. I may downsize my line or downsize my bait or both.
Well, when you're out there, okay, you draw Rick Klun, you know, in the back of the boat, and of course you fish all year, you draw that guy, it's just absolutely a machine in the front of the boat, the Kevin Van Dams, those guys, and you get out there and you say, okay, he's really dialed in on this crankbait bite. What are some of the things you think about? Say you're fishing along a shoreline where there's a good crankbait going on, what is the thing that you're going through your mind during that process?
Well, what I try to do is it's one of my favorite things is to throw a crankbait, so I would probably pick out something a little bit different, maybe target something a little shallower or a little deeper, or maybe not fish for the same fish that he would be fishing for.
Well, this year you had the luxury of being the number two angler in the co-angler side, and folks that look at this thing, you know, they think, man, you know, you think about a guy that's had the consistency all year long, then you go to the FLW Championship, and a couple of days you had a bigger stringer than a lot of the pros did. You went out there and just really whacked them.
Yeah, it's just been one of those years. It's really been a two-year thing. I've been on the FLW Tour for two seasons, and I've got six top tens out of 12 events. So it's really just been unreal to me.
Well, it's got to be fun. Now, I think you're going to shift to the front of the boat. I heard rumor that Greg Gulledge is going to take the front of the boat. Is that right?
I've been planning on it. I hope so.
Well, that's outstanding. You know, you think about it, you know, the FLW in particular, they start at the BFLs and, of course, go through the Everstarts and less sponsor exemptions. You know, you're able to go through the tour and be able to make it to the FLW tour. And from the back of the boat, there have been some successful anglers throughout the years that have come through the back of the boat. They've moved to the front and also done very well there.
Yeah, it really has. You know, you look at some of the guys like Pat Fisher and John Sappington, some of those guys that have fished as snowboaters before, and you know, it really gives someone like me some hope. You know, this has been a dream of mine for really all my life to be a professional angler. And, you know, I really like the direction that my fishing career is going right now.
Well, what are some of the advices that you'd give, you know, as a co-angler? I guess, you know, there's etiquette that's involved. You know, you got your back half of the boat and some of those kind of things. But say, for instance, you just drew me and you didn't know me and I get in the boat with you. What are some of the things that you try to do right off the bat?
Well, you know, one of the things is, you know, I try to be a help to the pro. And, you know, I'll tell him right up front that whatever I can do to help him during the day, just let me know. And, you know, you've got to be there and relax and just be there to learn. And one of the biggest things I think a lot of people do is they try to compete with the pro. And if the pro starts catching more fish, they get all upset. But, you know, we've got our own little tournament to fish, and they've got theirs. And you just kind of have to look at it that way.
Well, the excitement that goes with the co-anglers, it was unbelievable this year at the championship. You know, the co-anglers, the second day of the event in particular, people were just awestruck with the numbers of fish and how the fish were caught behind the pros. And, you know, and these guys are not slouches by any stretch. These pros are vacuum cleaners, and you guys did a great job this year, I thought, at the FLW championship.
Yeah, well, it was one of those deals where it was kind of conducive. You had a lot of spotted bass, and, of course, spotted bass is the best friend of a co-angler because there's a lot of them, and usually they'll bite smaller baits, and, you know, whenever you do the downsizing thing, then that generally works good on the spots.
Well, let's talk about the bait selection at the championship. Of course, you know, you had to fish the back of the boat, had a big 15-pound bag one day of that event, but tell me a little bit about what bait selection you used at the FLW championship.
Well, what I did was basically my first day pro was throwing a jig, so I went with one of those little jig head worms. I make my own jig heads, and basically, I was just flipping it up underneath those docks and dragging those big ones out.
Well, I tell you what, it was a big sack of fish, and you look at the total. That little shaky head worm with a little small straight worm on there sure can make a difference when you know that finesse bite's on, right?
It sure can, and I was using 10-pound fluorocarbon triple fish, and that stuff is just so much more sensitive than anything else. I've finally gotten on the fluorocarbon bandwagon, I guess, this year. It's just really made a big difference.
Well, I guess maybe the folks that don't know about fluorocarbon is not as porous as monofilament. It does sink, right? And it's able to, maybe you can feel the bite a little better.
Yeah, I think so. It has a lot less stretch, and whenever you set the hook, that fish feels that, and it just works out a lot better for feeling those little finicky bites like those spots do a lot of times.
Well, let's talk about sponsorship. You know, now that you've done so well and, you know, second overall on the co-angler side, are you out there trying to drum up some sponsors?
I definitely have. I've been busy ever since we got back. I actually was busy before then. I had already planned on fishing the pro side for next year, and it's been a lot of work.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and the work really begins after you get them. You know, you start thinking about it. You get those sponsors, and then you've got to really perform on the water and off the water at the shows and those kind of things. So I'm sure your time will be stretched out a little bit now.
Yeah, it sure is, and I've already got three or four sponsors, and it does take a lot of time away from my fishing.
Well, you know, when you talk about that obligation now to be in the front of the boat, you know, you can't rely on going to somebody else's fish necessarily, and you've really got to go out and find your own. I know you're a good competitive angler where you're at and where you live and some of those kind of things, but this time in the co-angler division, now you're going to go back to some of those lakes, have the front of the boat, and you're going to be able to find your own fish. That ought to be exciting for you.
Oh, I think so. I'm really looking forward to Lake Okeechobee. It's not one of my better places, but I can't wait till January. I'm ready to go check it out.
Well, you know, you think about that great big fish lake, you know, depending on the fronts and the wind direction, it can play havoc if, you know, you get the big winds and some of those kind of things. But you have an opportunity to really go find your fish and maybe not have a lot of company.
I think so. With a place like that, you can kind of spread out and not be on top of each other, you know, unlike some places that we go.
Well, you know, Greg, I guess, you know, as a culmination of this whole year, you've had just a successful run here and had a great year through the co-angler ranks. Now, what are some of the goals you'd have for next year?
Well, you know, with FLW's payback, with the top 50 paying $10,000, that's definitely something to shoot for every tournament. It definitely makes it, you know, maybe not quite as important to have the sponsors, you know, for a guy like me starting out. That you know, you can't actually win enough to eat.
Well, you're mentioning that if you finish in the top 50 of any event, you know, the worst you can do is get $10,000. And, you know, the days, it wasn't too long ago when top prize was around $10,000 for a lot of the pros. So it's really neat to see this thing really taking hold. And, you know, $500,000 for an FLW championship is completely unbelievable. And now you look on top of it, you look on top of what's going on with the co-anglers. Co-anglers are making some pretty good money, too.
Right. I mean, it's really, you know, Rick Lund once wore a shirt that said there are no limits. And I tell you what, I think it's coming to pass. I don't think that's necessarily what he meant by it, but it's just unreal what the payouts are. And, you know, it's going to allow some people like me to maybe make a living at this thing.
Well, think about it as a kid. You know, you had these dreams. You've had the aspirations to become a professional angler, and it's right around the corner for you. January, you're going to be thinking about going to warm climate while everybody up here in the North Country is going to be freezing to death, and you're going to be down there catching those green fish. You've got to be excited as you can be.
Man, I tell you what, you can't imagine how pumped I am. I'm so excited about it.
Well, Greg, as usual, I really appreciate the time. I know you got a busy schedule. You're trying to get those sponsors going. An absolute great year at the FLW. You number two ranked angler all year long in the co-angler side, and I look for big things to happen for you next year.
Man, I sure do appreciate it.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.